Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 96 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make theater happen. You can find all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, other fine podcast streaming services. And if you have a spare 30 seconds, please rate and review the podcast on whichever platform you use. This helps us to be more discoverable to listeners who may have not heard about us yet. And now for this week's podcast. Last week, I was absolutely honored to take part in an industry panel over at our good friends, the Monoboxes, speech surgeries. Now, if you haven't been to one of these events, you need to go. They are possibly one of the best opportunities to network in this industry. In a nutshell, these monthly events offer the opportunity to sit in the Monobox studio in Bermondsey, which is on south of the river, share the Monobox's unique play collection, which is vast. You can attend a Q&A with theater professionals, which is what we did, and show your speech that you've chosen to a director ahead of any impending auditions. And it's all under one roof, and it's all in one day. And it's a Sunday, so it's a weekend. You won't or may not be working. So, you know, if you're looking for an opportunity for some professional development and networking possibilities, this is your place. On this panel, we talk about finding your tribe, and you will find your tribe at a speech surgery. They hold them every month, and I will give you the details of the next one at the end of this episode and on the show notes. So I had the privilege of sharing the platform with Sherelle Skeet, actress and founder of blacktress.co.uk, and a stablemate of our agency, Olivia Bell. Hi, guys. Longtime RSC stalwart, actor Sam Marks, and director Zoe Ford, currently associate director for Sam Mendes on the Lehman Trilogy at the National Theater. Guys, I know I say this, but I felt truly humbled to be among the guests and the attendees of the speech surgery, who were full of insightful questions. The questions we got from the attendees were magnificent. And the best thing about this was that within two questions, you know, as a group of people, we started becoming completely open about issues of self-worth and mental health issues. And, you know, those two questions, the two short questions, took about half an hour to address. And I just thought I'd let you listen to how the conversation unfolded. I found it fascinating, and hopefully you will too. It is absolutely apparent that we in this industry find it very hard to talk about how we are feeling, and yet we are expected to bare our souls in front of a camera or an audience on a daily, nightly basis. And yet we keep ourselves to ourselves. I often say that, you know, actors are blessed with a massive ego and a low self-esteem, and it's trying to marry those two. And I think I may have brought that up in this panel. But it's a conundrum for sure. And hopefully you'll get some insight into how some of us, at least, deal with that kind of emotional pressure. Have a listen.
Okay, so this is John Schwab. And I have to say, like,
John Schwab. I introduce myself as John Schwab. I never introduce myself as John because there are too many Johns. No, but I am John Schwab. I'm an actor. I also direct and produce, and I started a company called Curtain Call that was just started. You know, we published a book, but now we're doing other things. But I didn't train. I studied English literature at Durham University and paid overseas fees back in 1993, and I could not afford to study at drama school. So I got an agent my last year, just started working. I thought, you know, if I'm going to learn how to sword fight or stage combat or everything, you know, they'll teach me, you know, on the job, which is kind of what happened. And I'm very grateful for the opportunities that I've had. I don't stop. I'm one of these annoying people that try and fill all of their time with something that may or may not further my career, but it makes me happy. So I'm always doing something. I am a master networker. I go out and do things. I run seminars on networking and stuff like that. So, like, come and talk to me afterwards. You know, I'll hang around for a while today. I've done it all, really, I suppose.
I'm out of many talents.
Yes. But that's kind of interesting. It's already in the room is someone that isn't just one thing. Mm. And I think that's good to hear very early on, is that you don't have to just go, ah, I'm just an actor and there's nothing else and who am I if I'm not acting. So there's, you know, you've got someone that's kind of doing lots of a variety of things. So you can check out Curtain Call. And we've got various offers and things and stuff, which I'm sure will come.
Bless you, Polly, bless you.
but it's interesting that that is also a company that started out, you know, if I'm right in saying being so bold, is that started out as taking backstage photographs.
Yeah, that's it.
So the black and white photographs that you probably see all over Twitter of like productions going on, that's Curtain Call. And
including then some of Mr. Mark's over
there. Oh, yeah. Well, that leads us on to
Hello, hello, I'm Sam. I would say I am just an actor, and that's also okay. But I do lots of other things that are not involved in the theatre or in terms of acting. I quite like to sort of remove myself in a way and remember that there are other things about life that it's also too important to connect to and with. But like John, I didn't train. I went to university, went to UCL, and I studied anthropology and left age 21 with an agent that I had got from the National Youth Theatre, which is how Polly and I know each other, because we were both part
young.
Of the MIT.
We were both young.
Very young. You haven't changed.
I'm the same.
You haven't
You're
changed.
Old. I
don't know. I'm the older than that. Yeah, so that's sort of my background, and I've mostly been involved in the theatre. It's just sort of the way that my career's gone. I've done lots of classical theatre. And I'm trying now, age 31, to try and introduce myself to, or reintroduce myself to, people who might be involved more on the screen side, which is an interesting process. So that's where I'm at the moment.
So you've done a lot of the classical work and a lot at the RSC.
Yeah.
So being in Stratford-upon-Avon, spending time outside of London, working with a variety of people and actors and lots of different things, but predominantly sort of
predominantly
on the
Shakespeare.
Side.
Yeah. Yeah. And also I did a production of Death Thousand, which is how John and I know each other, because John and Matthew, the photographer from Curtain Call, came backstage when we were in the West End. We did sort of quite a short run, about 11-week run up in Stratford, and then we transferred into the North Coward in the West End, and we did about 3 months there. And it was great to have John and Matt there, just to sort of document what we were doing. It was absolutely extraordinary and really, really wonderful. So, that's really sort of been my thing, and I've been at the Globe. Seem to just basically wear tights and kids. And, like,
which is
wigs,
not a problem.
Floppy wigs. Yeah.
Is that a change, Polly, from being...
No, we did a production of Shakespeare.
We did Shakespeare.
Oh, shit.
Slightly different.
Yeah, but I played a slacker and you got to play somebody...
I was a soldier.
Yeah. I was a soldier as well, actually.
You were a brilliant soldier.
I had to put on, like, camouflage and a large helmet and suddenly be a man. There are the female acting roles in Shakespeare. anyway, hi, Sherelle.
Hi, I'm Sherelle Skeet. I'm from Birmingham. Went to Central. I did train. I went to Central School of Speech. Royal now, isn't it? Royal Central School of Speech and Drama. Graduated in 2011. Started in 2008. Sorry. And I did the Collaborative and Devised Theatre course. It's so interesting. Like, for me, I know that I wanted to train. I started off as a dancer. I used to run my own, like, community dance theatre group in Birmingham. And then realised that actually what I was doing was kind of like physical theatre. I didn't know what physical theatre was. People were like, oh, you should watch Pina Bausch and all of that stuff. And then I was like, okay, I should kind of look into how I can train in this. And then I found... first, I auditioned for musical theatre because I sing as well. It wasn't the right course for me. Didn't know how to audition. Didn't get in that year. But whilst... It was great, though, because it was the first time I had the experience of applying for drama school. So... that was my opportunity to kind of just be in the environment, take in the scene, and also to do the CDT workshop, which is part of the... I think they still do that now, which is still part of, like, your experience when you go to audition. And that was my first experience of CDT. I didn't know what it was. It like, sounds like some kind of venereal disease. So I was very much out of the loop. And I think you guys, if you're all from London, or if you're not, I think really make the most of London. I still try and do that now, you know. It's 10 years now since I've been here, on and off, going back and forth. When I've been broke, I've gone back to Birmingham. And then it was through doing the course that I was like, actually, I really just enjoy storytelling as a whole. So I suppose, yeah, I'm an actor. So I'll take that on. I'm the co-founder of Blacktress UK, which is a network and support group for black women actors. And we started off as just having a meal. We've been going for since last year. And now we're about to... we've got 20 shows which are going to be work in progress shows, which are going to be at the Actors Centre, which are led by black women, and it starts on October the 4th to December the 22nd. Nice. So I'll give you a little plug there.
Nice.
So yeah, it's just about what we, you know, with everything that we're talking about in terms of diversity and representation and inclusivity, there are certain groups that have to be given a platform that are not being given a platform. So a lot of that is down to just being given more opportunities. That's why we exist. So if you self-identify as a black woman actress, speak to me. and we also have inclusive events. It's a mixture of workshops, which are very much kind of healing workshops in terms of being able to navigate, I suppose, an approaching text that weren't necessarily written for you in mind, both being woman and being black. And also to kind of show our idea of what an industry would look like if it was black women led, hence why we're doing a takeover of the Actors Centre. Mm-hmm. So we're getting into lots of spaces, and we've had like events that have done really well.
This is really impressive as well, because Chevelle and I met doing the show at the National.
Yes, we did, yeah.
And that was one of your first plays after being in The Lion King or something.
Was it? No, was it? I did The Lion King and I did Amy and Corner. So it was my second time at the National.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, and then Chevelle's come on a panel for us before, and since she's been on the panel, she started Blacktress. Yeah. So that was like 2 years ago. But it's quite amazing as well that how quickly things can change and escalate, and how you can put forward an idea and take it on and be involved in something other than acting as well.
I think ultimately, regardless of how you self-identify, I think it's about celebrating your intersections. Just as a whole, I feel like what I feel like drama school does is that it can kind of sometimes strip back those if you're not aware of it, you can feel like you have to fit into a mould that actually doesn't exist. And after leaving drama school, I would say for me, it was about me finding my and celebrating my intersections. Like I said, I'm from Birmingham. I didn't say also I'm of West Indian background. So my mum is Jamaican, my dad is Vincentian, which is a tiny island next to like St. Lucia. So I'm West Indian, and I'm really proud of that part of my heritage and my culture, because it means that I also can bring that up in an audition room, you know? I'm also queer, so I can bring that up in an audition room, or I can relate that to a character, or, you know, it's about kind of celebrating whoever you are. All of your experiences, you're bringing that with you, and it's something to celebrate. Your difference is actually something that's really beautiful, and it makes you really individual as an artist, and you shouldn't take that away or feel as though you've got to, you know...
Yeah, loads of food for thought there already, isn't there? And then that will fire up some questions, I'm sure, to start thinking as you're hearing these bold statements at the beginning of the session. And then on the end, we've got, I'm going to say it because I'm excited, Zoe Ford Burnett. She just got married.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Still my biggest achievement. Being a man. Hi, Polly and I went to university together in Edinburgh. I was studying English. What were you studying again?
History of art.
Mm-hmm.
Use it every day, mate.
I can't even spell. Like, I don't know how I got my degree. So we met there because I wanted to be a musical theatre actor. I was rubbish, but Polly was nice enough to put me in her plays that she was directing. So, and Polly also wrote me a reference letter to get into drama school, which was really kind of her. So I went, left uni, and then went and studied to be an actor. And one day in class, we got given the got given the task of creating a piece. I had never even thought about it before. I was like, how do you create a piece of theatre? I don't know what that is. So then I just wrote this little scene, and that was kind of okay. And then and then we had to stage it. And when it got to the staging bit, I was like, oh, directing's fun. Really fun. I get to be in control of everyone and tell stories. That's nice. So I decided I wanted to start a theatre company. And we went to the pub one night and I said, I'm gonna try and put on a play. Does anyone want to be in a play with me? And I cast myself as the lead part. which was interesting. So I directed it, cast myself as the lead part. It all happened. Anyway, I did the theatre company for a couple of years and mostly did classics because they're free. Playwrights are really difficult to afford when you have a fringe theatre company. The first play that I fully directed on my own that I wasn't in when I really stepped back was Titus Andronicus. And I did it with a cast of 15 massive guys and two women, and we can get into how bad that is later. All standing, and the dressing room was like a toilet cubicle, and they all had to stand with their hands in the air so they could fit in the backstage area. So that was the first kind of, and it was really fun and it did really well. And then I just kept kind of directing and producing work, and it got to a stage where I realised that it couldn't get any bigger. I couldn't get money. Like, this is a problem that I'm sure we'll get into about putting on your own work, how difficult it is to find funds. So I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll just go and assistant direct at big theatres. So I applied for the resident assistant director position at the Donmar and got that, and then have been kind of assisting and I'm now associate director to Sam Mendes at the National, and Polly's working on that project as well. So I don't actually know what I've just said. I feel like I just... That was like a therapy session. It did really feel great.
Yeah. I think great. I should just go home now.
Yeah. But it's... I mean, that exposes how rare it is to actually be talking about where you've come from and what you're doing. And sometimes it is really helpful to actually speak that out loud, to sort of remind yourself you're doing okay. Like, you've made some sort of impact somewhere. Even if it's just for your own story, that's
actually probably really interesting, because what you just said as well is that we don't talk about ourselves very much. We don't share our experiences, so this is really great to kind of sit and be like, "Oh, you did this, I did that. That's okay, cool."
Yeah, and I think that's why these sessions are so helpful, because you get to do that with everybody. Yeah. So yeah, don't be ashamed of that feeling of like, because actually that's where the most fruit comes from, I think. So across the board, we've got, you know, actors, producers, makers and directors, and people with lots and lots of different experiences. So hopefully that's already started ticking your brains going. So you have to ask questions in the thing called a Q&A. So if anyone's got anything that wants to be bold and start things off, go for it.
Yes.
She's got a natural power. She's like, right,
sure.
I'm ready.
So it's definitely going to be teaser, because you are a black actress. So I've heard before, right, from certain people, and I know it's not the same for everyone, and I don't think that there is some, like, blackness. Mm-hmm. There's not, like, you just have, I'm black, that's it. It's not, I can't buy it. Mm. I can't give it to you. Mm. You can't take it from me. However, some people feel like they go to drama school and they lose that blackness or like that rawness. And I feel like that's something I was really, really scared about, along with other things. But like, how did you feel about going to drama school? Especially because, I mean, when you went, I doubt that there was a lot of black people in your year. Mm. How do you feel? Because it is a bit different when you aren't around people that are like you.
I know what you're saying.
Do you get me?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So for me, like I say, I'm from Birmingham. So what I really acknowledged very quickly, obviously, the fact that I was in a new environment and also I was in a new city, just lots of new things. And I would say that it also exposed, it really exposed my working classness as well. Mm-hmm. I felt like, oh my gosh, everyone's really posh here. So, and that's fine, like, just so many differences. I think what it made me realise is that I would say to anyone, make sure that you define yourself for yourself, and that is a really empowering thing. You realise how important that is, like I say, when you go into an environment and you're of a minority, or that you you feel as though that just everything about you just screams like you feel as though that you don't belong there.
Yeah.
So I would also say that you cultivate, and that's how Blatra started, you cultivate an environment and a tribe and a community and a network for yourself. Be that people from back home, your friends that are kind of doing normal 9-to-5 jobs and you just want to kind of not talk about creative stuff, you just want to do kind of mundane shit, that's cool. Or as well as kind of having your creative circle. Mm-hmm. Like, are you applying for drama schools at the moment?
I'm going to apply.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't decided whether I'm actually going to go, but I'll apply and I'll consider it.
Yeah. Well, I would just say, like, do you come through National Youth Theatre?
It's actually talking to Polly about this.
Yeah.
I've done National Youth Theatre, but I've done it really young. Mm. And when I've done it, there was no black people. Mm. And the black people that were there, they didn't hang around with black people. They were from really white areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be like going up to I'd go up to them like, yo, what are you saying? And they'd be like, sorry, what? Like, no, I don't. And like, that's when I was like, wow, I'm so alone. And I think that kind of shut me off from the world of black actresses, because
mm-hmm.
I was like, no, none of you are like me. None of you. No one's from ends.
That's what I was going to say in terms of how we define, obviously we're talking about some specifically like blackness here, but in terms of how we define race, I always feel like when we talk about blackness and race, we always see ourselves as being one thing.
Yeah.
And actually we're multifaceted.
No, of course.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Agree.
So like, it's like, I mean, hello at Blatress.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll say that just because at the moment on our mailing list, there's like 200 women there.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
there
yeah.
are going to be lots of other young people that are going to be considering drama school,
yeah, yeah.
or have kind of thought about it and thought, actually, it's not for me. I'm going to go down the route and just try and find it, you know, give myself a platform and get an agent.
Yeah.
I just say keep being creative, ultimately, regardless of race or whatever, you'll find your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So you write in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so write. You know, connect to, like, there's lots of pockets, like at the Lyric, and you know, there's lots of different, you're in London, there's so many things happening that you
yeah.
can kind of tap into. The Albany Theatre, you know, go, you know, Monologue Slam, there's lots of things that are happening. You've got Monobox here, and going to like workshops and speaking about your experiences, because it'll be that person that's like, oh, really quiet in the room. And that's why I would say this is how I define myself, because before I was really embarrassed about, oh, to talk about my blackness or to talk about my queerness or to talk about all these things that like maybe the majority of people in the room wouldn't really talk about. It made people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But the more that all of us talk about our experiences, the more it's just going to be like, okay, well, that person's just different. Like, it's cool.
Do you think it's like, how do I say this? How do I ask this? You know how people just like don't speak about mental health?
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't say bare stuff that's on their mind?
Right.
Do you think that that's what it's like with everyone's experiences? And then, like, it's like we have this wall of, hi, yeah, I'm fine. Great. Oh, my God, yeah. Not, oh, God, I just had a really shit audition and I hate myself. Oh, my God, I feel like dying kind of thing.
But you just
like,
said it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think all of us are up here going.
Everyone
yeah.
in the room.
Yeah.
And that, so that crosses all of the boundaries.
Yeah.
And that is ultimately the thing that means that any of these, like, pockets and, like, boxes that you feel like you're put into or are thinking about being in
mm-hmm.
are eradicated.
Yeah. I use that phrase, it's all good. Like, my wife hated me saying it. And I'm going to tell you, it drove me insane.
Because
I was saying, it's all good, it's all good, it's all good. And I've had mental health problems, so I don't mind kind of going, yeah, like, it's stuff. And so that, all that did was saying it's all good, when I was lying to myself and everybody else around me, was put another layer of bricks
yeah.
on the wall. So you, when you talked about that wall, it's all good, it gets higher and higher, and then at some point you look at it and go, fuck, it's not good at all.
Yeah.
I've got a hell of a wall to climb. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, very hard.
But I think that is something that we hear and have exploded quite a lot at the Monobox is mental health for actors and for people in theatre. And it's because from what you've said, which I think everyone probably can extract from, is that feeling of loneliness or feeling like you're the only person that's feeling like that. And that if you say that you're not having a good time, your experience isn't as valid.
Yeah. Or you're bringing the room down.
That's
That was the foul word. Like, you know, the audition, like, oh my God. I want to tell you about what actually happened today. How was your day? So it was great. So the train, you know what it's like. Yeah. But it's like, how do you... Like, how can you be honest about stuff like that when you know deep inside that, like, you could be bringing the room to such a shit level. Mm.
I think sometimes you just gotta fuck the room.
Yeah.
You know, it's the one thing that brings us all here together. There's a common denominator here between all of us that transcends age and race and gender, sexuality, is that we all are really passionate about something. Mm. And I think that's always really important to remember and really wonderful to share with people. This might put things into perspective, but I haven't worked as an actor since December last year. I just did something this weekend. That's the first time I've worked in nearly a year. And I had a really, really good purple patch. I was working for sort of 4 years solidly with the Royal Shakespeare Company and at the Globe, and I just thought, wow, this is great. Yeah. No, I'm unstoppable.
Nate.
Right. And then it's all like comes crashing down.
Yeah.
And you know, it's 2 months down, you're like, oh, it's okay, it's only been 2 months.
Yes.
It's coming, and then it's 6 months, and then it's 10 months, and then it's nearly a year. And you're like, wow. Yeah. And it's hard, it's really hard. And the thing is that you've got to talk about that stuff. Mm-hmm. You have to have an outlet for it because we're creative people. Mm. If you don't talk about it, if you don't let your creativity out, it just gets toxic.
Yeah.
And it just kind of manifests itself as a resentment, and it can really, really affect your mental health. So I think, like, talk about it.
Mm. Yeah.
And if it's hard to find people who you feel can relate to you, maybe, like, if you like writing, maybe try and write it down. I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, coherent, cohesive sentences, and it certainly doesn't have to kind of have... You don't have to have an idea about it becoming a piece of art or a piece of work that you might develop. It's just for you, just for yourself and for your mental health, which I think is really, really important.
Yes.
I think as well, I think an experience that I had at the weekend, I've been noticing that one of my friends, he was in the movie, and he's going to Comic-Cons all the time. He's not acted for 2 years. And I was looking at him when we were out the other day, and I was like, he ain't right. And I kept asking him, are you okay? Are you okay? And I had to really... I love him very much, and I think I was a bit nasty, but I just was like, fucking tell me what's wrong with you. And I had to really push him, and when I did, he just broke down and cried and cried and felt like he felt like a failure, that he didn't understand, that he wasn't making the best of his life, that he was broke. But the thing was, is that he woke up the next day and he felt free. It wasn't a secret. And I think that was tied up in, you know, lots of issues of masculinity and how men are supposed to... Yeah. But I think it's difficult, and I think I realise that I need to push myself to ask the question of other people.
Yeah,
because
really
it's scary too. Because you're like, you don't want to be like, I think you're suffering.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Well, I think it's because the drunk people were labelled as being dramatic. So if you, if you want to really piss me off, it's like, oh god, so dramatic. I'm like, oh, okay. Take a step back, breathe, count to 10, say a prayer, do something. Yeah, I think it's I think that you know what, it's if you feel like, you know, there's a room full of people here who've heard this entire discussion, they're all going to identify in some way with you. Mm-hmm. Like, so say something and talk. You do. Like, I love the phrase "find your tribe." I'm constantly telling my kids, "Find your tribe." If people don't get you, they're not in your tribe.
Yeah. Right.
Go find your tribe, and you build your tribe. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think there's also something there about the whole act of acting is sort of it has been taken as pleasing people, of entertaining and pleasing other human beings, and. I mean, I had it earlier this year, back when I was working with Zoe, that I was working on two productions at the same time, and I work as a movement director, so my whole job is to encourage people to be
free.
Free.
Mm.
Meanwhile,
I was like,
come on, everyone is free, everyone's rolling around on the floor, everyone's having a lovely time. Meanwhile, my jaw got stuck, and which sounds ridiculous, but my jaw actually clamped shut, and I couldn't open it, and I had to go to hospital, and they ended up having to dislocate my jaw to open my mouth. And I was like, why did this happen? What's happened to my body? You know, because we only care about our bodies when they go wrong. And so I was like, well, you know, there must be something wrong with my face. And they were like, it might be something else. It might be a psychosomatic thing. And I sort of looked at the experiences that I was going through at that time. And I was constantly going...
Yeah.
And squashing down what I had to say. Whilst at the same time not acknowledging how much work I had to do for the monobox, not acknowledging that I had bills to pay, not acknowledging that I forgot to pay my credit card bill, not acknowledging that I was stressed out about somebody's wedding, like all of this stuff. I just wasn't talking about it, and it affected me. And I think what we're hearing here is that actually it's you're the person that has to rely on you. It's not really about pleasing anybody else. And there is something, especially when you're at the start of your career, where it's about this. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly going like that. Mm-hmm. And that's quite an excruciating place to be if no one else is going, yeah.
I actually want that. Yeah. Look at what I've got.
Yeah. So, and I speak about being a movement director as I'm constantly doing this. Mm. I'm going, come in, you're fantastic, la la la, here's my love. And then I'm on the bus home. And ain't nobody squeezing me and going, you were really good today. Yeah? Even though I try, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I speak to strangers on the bus. I'm like, how are you? Just to see if they ask me back, and then I get something back.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I'm the crazy lady on the bus. But I've had to learn how to speak about this stuff. Because it's very easy to think, to look at everybody else and think that they're doing okay because they're doing things. Mm-hmm. And... God forbid, I'm so sorry that you're so young, all of you, because you have to deal with it in this world as well. And I try and age myself and stay away from it now because it's painful. But if you know if you know what you're doing and can be proud and talk about what you're doing, then all of the other stuff isn't going to affect you as much. So that sort of feels like...
There's a really good... You know, the grass is greener. The reason why the grass is greener is because you haven't watered your own lawn. Like, if you keep your side of the street clean, you know, you'll be all right. You know, but you just have to. Your grass is. I mean, it could be brown and dead, but you're going, look at all that, isn't this circus? All those flowers and wildflowers. All of a sudden, everything you've got around you is dying. It's because. Just pay attention to you, like you say, and everything else will happen.
Water your lawn.
Garden, whatever it's called. What's it?
Has anyone heard of The Artist Way?
Yeah.
I think that book is incredible. I encourage you to read that book, actually. It's really, really good because it's a 12-week workbook that you can work through, like, in and out. And it teaches you to just look after your artist self. I use the term artist because we're all creative. Mm. So whether... you're just an actor or you're writing or directing or whatever, we're in the business of storytelling and we're in it because we're making money from it, but ultimately you would do it anyway, you know, you just do it anyway. And ultimately it's about unlocking and unblocking certain things, and it's not necessarily to make you a better writer, it might make you a better writer, but one of the things that she encourages you to do first of all when you wake up is to do the to write 3 pages of just a stream of thought, even if whatever is on your brain. You just write it. If it's your shopping list, if it's, you know, you had a bad dream, if you had whatever, you just write it, and it's 3 pages straight. But I encourage that by Julia Cameron. It came out in like the 80s.
I don't know anyone who's done that book that isn't like, this is the best thing that
ever happened. It's life changing. It's such a brilliant, brilliant book, and like you can take yourself out on an artist date. And just that thing of being in your own company but not feeling alone.
I haven't done it, but what's that? That sounds great.
Being an artist day is literally like, okay, so you might be like, okay, so on Monday at midday, I'm taking Sherelle out. Me and Sherelle, we're going going out. We're going to take a long walk along the reservoir. I'm going to bring my camera. I might flipping pick some fucking daisies. And I'm going to press them in a journal because I'm going to treat myself and go to the flipping pound shop and get a new book. And then I'm going to stick them and then I'm going to flipping write a poem. That's what I'm going to do. And it's just going to be an afternoon with me. That's it. Or it might be, I'm going to take Sherelle out. I took Sherelle out once on an artist date and we went and watched Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I'd watched Star Wars. And I was like, okay, I appreciate it. Let's just respect Star Wars. Let's just respect. So not ride or die for Star Wars. But John Berg was great. Cool. but it was great. Just it was thinking space and kind of like me just reconnecting with nature and just not doing things, because sometimes I realised I got into the habit of only being creative and only working on text when I was auditioning for something. And I was like, oh my gosh, I enjoyed the process. And even auditioning for a job, it's like, okay, no, this isn't healthy. I'm doing it in order, like you say, to please other people, to get the job. You know, we're so obsessed with the finished product. And actually, how do you improve on your creativity? It's the process, you know? Allowing yourself, going into spaces, safe spaces like this, like today, where you can practice process, where you can just be in process, you know? Where you can, oh, let me try this and let me experiment with this. And so when I do go into the audition room, it's not the tension is up. I realised that when I'm going into an audition, like I booked a job and it was a last minute gig, found out on the day, I had to go in for Nina Gold casting. I was like, oh, flipping meat market. There was like 50 people in a room. I was like, I'm definitely not getting this. I'll make sure I've got to get out because I've got a vocal call at 6:30. I was like sitting there, I was like, oh, they're 40 minutes over. 2 days later, I booked the job. I was like, oh, that's so interesting, because I was more interested in going to my warm-up than actually even being in the room, which is so funny, because I realised that I went in there and I was so relaxed. And my focus wasn't getting the job. My focus was just like, I'm just going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
I'm going to show them, meet them. Okay, bye, love. I've actually got to go to do Fun Home now, so bye. Do you know, my focus wasn't, I've got to get the job. You know?
Because ultimately people can smell that, can't
they? Yeah, the desperation.
It is a terrible smell, desperation. Yeah. Smell it for miles.
Yeah. You know?
I've had They really can. I had a patch this year where I didn't have any auditions, so I wasn't even in a position to feel like I could be creative and get an opportunity. So I thought, what am I going to do? I've got to do something else. There's got to be something else that will resonate with me and that I can find that I'm passionate about. So I started making things. So I do a lot of woodworking, and I make tables, and I've now getting commissions to make tables.
Holy shit, that's
cool.
Which is
so that I'm a couple. Zoe just got married. She might be getting a new house. Might need a table.
We have a great dining room table. Beautiful hairpin legs. So that's something that I do, which has been amazing because it's really creative. I'm making things with my hands. I'm using my hands, which is such a wonderful way to channel my creativity into something else. And it's just amazing because, like, as actors, like you're saying, like the process, you start. You think you kind of start. When you get the job, or like maybe even with the audition, you get the job, and then it's kind of like a big journey. You go through the rehearsal process, everything you go through together as a company, and then it ends. So making something, you have a plan in your head of what you want to make. You go back, you buy the stuff, you get all your tools, you start making it, and you finish it, and you make it, and you think, well, hang on, maybe I can do that a bit differently next time, or maybe I can improve on that. And it's just been a really, really wonderful thing for me to do, and it's kind of been a bit of my salvation. And I also do a lot of photography. And I shoot on film, which is, again, a really creative process because I obviously can't see what I'm taking first of all. So I process the films myself, the black and white films, and it's just a really, really wonderful thing to sort of see something start and then finish it. And it'd be something that I can work on myself. I'm not relying on anyone else. I'm not relying on a director giving me a job or an executive producer in America going, yeah, he's the guy. You know, it's me, it's mine, it's my stuff. And no one else really has an influence on it. Of course, like, it can be quite hard if you don't have the money to be able to do those things, but find something that's cheap that you can make, you know, whatever it is, draw or paint, or even if you're shit, you might get really good, but if you're really bad, it doesn't matter. It's just really good to do.
It all makes me think about this idea of criticism as well, because you just said there of it's something that I can do for myself and I'm not relying on anybody else.
Mm.
Something about the inner critic, that going back to what we were just talking about before, about the judgment that you make on whether you're doing well or not.
Yeah.
And most likely, if I was to say, are you guys doing well right now to yourselves? Like, just even if you answer in your head, most of you, I'm going to say, will go, yeah.
No.
Or, no, not really. Yeah, would be there rather than like, I'm good.
Nailing it.
Yeah, nailing it.
Yeah, so good.
Because of your that inner critic that actually does stop you from taking the photograph or building the table or starting the company or whatever, that you won't do it well enough because that's what you're kind of used to, or that's what you've been programmed to think.
Sam Marks, Sherelle Skeet, Zoe Ford Burnett, and myself at September Speech Surgery, hosted by The Monobox and curated by The Monobox's wonderful Polly Bennett. Now, before we wrap up, if you are a theater professional, you need to head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account, make up a cool password, away you go. Follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. That's all one word. Let everyone know about us. If you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast, get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me personally at john@curtaincallonline.com. It just leaves me to say a big old thank you to Polly and Joan and everyone at the Monobox, and to Zoe Ford Burnett, Cheryl Skeet, and Sam Marks for being so freaking awesome, guys. You can see the panel's Curtain Call profiles at curtaincallonline.com. You can follow Sherelle's new Blacktress adventures on Twitter at Blacktress_UK, and also at blacktress.co.uk, the website. If you fancy speech surgery, and believe me, you do, head over to the Monobox. I nearly said head over to Curtain Call. No, head on over to themonobox.co.uk and book your place on the next one. And it's not just speech surgeries over the Monobox. There are a ton of workshops to help you develop both your career and your network. So what are you waiting for? Anyway, guys, that's about it. So thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.